السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله My noble audience, last week we spoke about a very important topic, and basically the title was avoid taunting, that we should try to abstain from probing into the lives of others. We should be focused upon ourselves rather than others. And we made mention that if a person speaks about the faults of others, and especially those faults where a person has repented, then basically the words of the Nabi of Allah is that this person will not die unless this person commits that crime. So it is most important that we avoid speaking about others and highlighting their shortcomings. Today will be a continuation of this topic. I was thinking thoroughly a few nights ago when preparing for Jumu'ah, and whilst I was studying a few articles, Allah placed something in my mind, and basically it makes a lot of sense and it is very relevant to this topic. We need to change our mindset. What I'm trying to say is that if we dislike somebody, we will speak ill of that person. We may control ourselves because of our inner good for 1, 2, or 3 days, but then that dislike that is lying inside will get the better of us, and we will speak ill of that person. And then a time will come, we will publicize it. If a person is liked, all the shortcomings are kept as a secret. We know the shortcomings of our brother, our sister, our wife, our children. Somebody comes and speaks about our children and says that we found your child to be doing this. The first thing we will say to that person is, don't tell anyone. And the reason why we say this is because we love our child. So it is very, very important that we change our mindset and we start to love each other. And that's why in Surah Fath, Allah Almighty makes mention, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, that the Sahaba were very, very compassionate to each other. Now basically Allah Almighty allows us insight to the sentiment that lies in the heart. Rahm lies in the heart. It is not tangible. But when Allah Almighty speaks about the Sahaba, He says that they had Rahm. This is a depiction of what lies in the heart of the Sahaba towards each other. That's why it will be near to impossible for the Sahaba to backbite. It will be near to impossible for the Sahaba to probe into the life of others or to highlight the shortcomings. So basically, before even discussing the matter of avoiding the taunt, we need to beautify ourselves with Rahm. And as we know that the greatest quality of Allah Almighty is Rahm, Rahman Ar-Rahim, it does not come without begging Allah Almighty. We need to beg Allah Almighty that He bestow upon us a drop of the ocean of Rahm. And that will close our mouth. That will close our eyes. And that's what we find from the life of Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that after all the persecution and all the pain that he suffered, And not only him, his followers, when he was in the position of strength and might, where he could avenge, the only words to be heard from the mouth of the Nabi of Allah in terms of the enemies was Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Ya Allah, guide my qawm. He still said my qawm. He didn't disassociate himself from the qawm and said guide that group of people. No, he said my people. Fa innahum la ya'lamun, they do not know. So basically, when a person changes his mindset, the entire body follows. The body follows in relation to what the mindset is. If there is love, the body will follow that sentiment of love. And if there is dislike, the body will follow in the sentiment of dislike. Now, how do we look at a person that basically we know is doing wrong? So we find a person, he's doing wrong. We can't disregard the human nature, because human nature wants to see and then wants to speak. We can't disregard that. But we find a person making a mistake. On one hand, Allah Almighty says, do not highlight the mistake. Do not speak ill of the person. Do not publicize. And on the other hand, we find a set of laws pertaining to da'wah. Amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. So there's an apparent contradiction. What is the reconciliation between all this? That on one hand, I need to keep my mouth closed so I can be safeguarded from this crime, from this ithm, this fisk, this sin. But on the other hand, I'm disregarding all those ahadith pertaining to da'wah. Amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. Enjoining good, forbidding bad. So the scholars have come up with something, and I basically believe that they have taken it out, keeping the two set of laws in mind, and then deriving a ruling, deriving the proper approach that will allow us to uphold this set of law and this set of law. So we do not disregard any. So the scholars have said that we look at the person as a marid, as a sick person. Nabi Akribam was looking at Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Utbah, Shaybah, and all those that departed without faith, and all those that came into the fold of Islam in his lifetime as sick people. And when a person looks at another as a sick person, he does not have hatred towards him. He does not dislike him. He will go to the chemist. He will buy medicine for him. He will ring him, or he will go to the hospital where he is being treated, and he will sit down with respect, with humility. He will ask him about his sickness. He will say, can I do anything for you? Now, Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that if a person goes out to visit a sick person, physical sick, if he goes in the daytime, there is a mighty group of angels that make istighfar for this person until Maghrib. And if he goes in the evening, there's a mighty group of angels that make istighfar for him until Fajr. Because basically, attending the physical sick person allows the fabric of the society to grow from strength to strength. Many a times a word shared at a janazah, if a person has lost a loved one, and you say a few words or you participate in the janazah, he will remember that all his life. You visit a person in the hospital, he will remember that all his life. I remember in the early days when newcomers used to come in the country, there was not much on my plate. I didn't have to do much because it was a small community. I have too much nowadays. We used to take in all these people, feed them at my house, myself and Brother Khalid. We used to feed them at my house. We used to take care of them. We used to provide shelter for them. Those guys are settled now. They remember that. 20 years ago, they remember that. That Imam Sahab, at that time I needed somebody. There was no one here to take care of me. And you provided one meal. Now what is one meal? But it is when the meal is being provided. When the assistance is being given. That carries a lot of weight. If one person is settled and you invite him for a meal, most probably he will forget that the next day. But a person arrives in the country and there's no friend, and then you provide a meal. Allahu Akbar. So when a person is sick, basically that is a time where that person will value the visitation. Now this sickness, basically we can take it as spiritual sickness as well. We need to look at the sinner that he has the sickness of sin. If we approach this entire episode with that mindset, our reaction will be very different. Our approach will be very, very different. And that's why the hadith of Abu Dawood is amazing in terms of what I'm trying to relate. Very simple, short hadith. In many of the makatib, the maktabs where the students study after school hours, they are taught ahadith off by heart. This is one of the ahadith that is taught off by heart. Al-mu'min, mir'atul mu'min. Consists of three words. Al-mu'min, mir'atul mu'min. A mu'min is the reflection of another mu'min. A mu'min is the mirror for another mu'min. Now there are two dimensions to this. There are two understandings pertaining to this one hadith. And basically both are relevant to the topic that we are discussing. We are speaking about avoiding the taunt. Kisi ki beizzati nahi karni. Kisi ko neecha nahi dikhana. Because if our mindset is not in its right place, we will develop the spiritual sickness that is known as ujub, self-conceit. I am something. It's a big problem. Big problem. So one dimension to this statement of the Nabi of Allah that a mu'min is a reflection to another mu'min is that if I stand in front of the mirror and I see that there is a mark on my face, on my right cheek, it should not be there because I just had a shower and I was preparing myself for Jumu'ah. But I stand in front of the mirror and I find that there is a mark on my right cheek. Now who informs me? The mirror. But do I break the mirror? Do I strike the mirror? Then why did you tell me that I have a mark on my face? No. But on the other hand, if I find that there's any dot, because many a times when we are brushing our teeth, there's a splash on the mirror. You all know that. If there is any dot on the mirror, I remove the dot from the mirror. I clean it. I want the mirror to be impeccable. Very clean. So when I stand in front of it, it shows me every single aspect of my face and my body. So I am ready to face the community. So I don't break that mirror. I clean it. And deep down, without even uttering a word, I thank it. Deep down, without uttering a word, I thank it. So that is one dimension. If a da'i comes, he is a reflection. One person comes to me and says, Imam Uzair Sahab, that's wrong. Now basically he's my mirror. But this mirror speaks. The mirror at home doesn't speak. So that's why it doesn't hurt. But the mirror now is speaking. The mu'min. So he has to speak with consideration. He has to be very, very clinical in his approach. He has to be very, very mindful in his approach. Because this is a mirror that is speaking. And words have a great, profound impact. If the words are not right, then basically the recipient of those words, in this case myself, will be hurt. That's why the Nabi of Allah never ever cursed. If there was anyone that was entitled to cursing somebody, it would be the Nabi of Allah, but he never cursed. Because he knew that cursing will hurt the feelings. And forget about the feelings of the living, even Don't curse the ones that have passed away. The very clear instructions of the Nabi of Allah is Uzkuru mahasina mawtakum. Remember the good of those that have died. Now the ones that are dead, they took a package of good and bad. We know of their good and of their bad. But the Nabi of Allah says, only mention the good. Only mention the good. Don't mention the bad. The very famous incident. Who is greater than Abu Jahl in animosity? Who hurt the Nabi of Allah every step of his life? Who became an obstacle, a hindrance? Who basically prevented his uncle Abu Talib to enter the fold of Islam? He was one of the reasons. He was on the deathbed of Abu Talib. Think about it. The person that you die for, you desire that he comes into the fold of Islam. You close your eyes and you look back and you remember all the endeavors of Abu Talib towards Islam. All that he did. Now we only read about it. The Nabi of Allah experienced that. He was a part of that legacy of Abu Talib. And there was a relationship. He was an uncle. And the Nabi of Allah was such a personality that he desired that every single person come into the fold of Islam. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ Surah Kahf, we made mention a few weeks or the last week, that the Nabi of Allah basically was killing himself, the words, killing himself, because he was so overstressed that people weren't coming into the fold of Islam. So think about the deep sentiments of the Nabi of Allah towards Abu Talib. And the Nabi of Allah knows that Abu Jahl was sitting on the deathbed and basically was taunting Abu Talib that don't leave the religion of your forefathers. Isn't that something that will sit in the heart of the Nabi of Allah for years to come? Abu Jahl dies in the Battle of Badr. His son Ikrama bin Abi Jahl continues that sinister legacy. But a time comes that Ikrama bin Abi Jahl is granted Hidayah. In the last years of Nabi Kareem's prophethood. Last years. Now he is coming to the Mubarak Majlis of the Nabi of Allah to embrace Islam. Hazrat Bilal is there. Many other Sahaba are there that were a part of that Makkan period where Abu Jahl was in the position of might and he persecuted. They remember the verbal venom that was injected by Ikrama bin Abi Jahl. They remember Abu Jahl's persecutions. Now Ikrama bin Jahl is advancing towards the Nabi of Allah. Nabi Akram knows what is passing through the mind and the hearts of the Sahaba that are there. He knows. And he knows how they're going to respond. He knows how they're going to respond. So straight away the Nabi of Allah interjects. Gives them guidelines and says, no, he's coming. Don't say a word to hurt his feelings. Don't speak ill of Abu Jahl. Don't speak ill of Abu Jahl. Because he has died, he has met his fate. But if you speak ill of him, you are going to hurt the ones that are living. Now that is a profound statement. It is a profound statement. That one statement allowed all the Sahaba that were ready to return venom with venom. Return ill words with ill words. It allowed them to settle down. And Ikrama bin Abi Jahl came and accepted Islam in the presence of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and became a part of the noble group of Sahaba. It is that mindset. The Nabi of Allah was addressing that mindset. No. You need to remove that. Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. So this is one dimension. That if we stand in front of the mirror, deep down, we say thank you to the mirror. The second dimension, when a person stands in front of the mirror, basically the mirror is a reflection. Now this mirror does not taunt. It does introduce him to the blemish, the marks on the face, but it does not do more than that. And it does not propagate it. This is the dimension. It does not propagate it. You don't find that you stand in front of the mirror and then when you return back from your workplace, the mirror has informed the entire community that Mr. So-and-so had a mark on his face. So the da'i that is speaking to the one that is sick, we need to replace the word sinner with sick in our mind. This is going to make a huge difference in your approach. It is a small word, but it works wonders. Remove this from your vocab, the word sinner. Place in your mind the word sick. You see how the nurses, Allahu Akbar, I believe that these people are special, the nurses. They are chosen for this. Everyone has a special ability and quality. Allah has given people special abilities. Some find that ability in their lifetime and some are buried with that ability. They never find it. But these nurses, Allah, those that are Muslim, Allah give them ajri azeem, and those that are not Muslims, Allah grant them hidayah. The way they take care of the sick person. This is how the Nabi of Allah used to take care of the spiritual sick person. Remove that word sinner. So the Nabi of Allah says, Al-Mu'min mir'atul mu'min. Mu'min is a mirror of another mu'min. So the mirror, and that is you and me as a da'i, have to be very, very mindful that as the mirror does not hurt the feeling of the one that has the mark in our words, because we are a bit different than a mirror, we need to be similar. We can't hurt the person. We need to inform him in a way that basically does not hurt him. And the scholars of tasawwuf, tazkiyah, spirituality, have made something amazing. They said if your intention is to inform your brother and you don't feel that you're better than him, inshallah Allah will guide you. The words will come out in a way that will basically be accepted by the recipient. But if there is ujab there, self-conceit, there is a tazkiyah there, that a person thinks I am better, and basically is hammering the person and to show him that he is lesser, then it will not work. This dawah will not work. And the second thing is the mirror does not publicize. So we can't publicize. And we can't go out and inform people of that blemish. And I would like my noble audience to focus upon what I said last week, an extract of the hadith that we took as the principal hadith, one of the principal hadith last week. يَتَّبِعِ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ وَمَن يَتَّبِعِ اللَّهَ عَوْرَتَهُ يَفْضَحُ فِي بَيْتِهِ. If you probe into the false and you publicize them, Allah will disgrace that person, even if he's at home. He can sit in home. Don't even come into the community. Do whatever he wants in his home. But Allah has the master plan to disgrace this person. We all can make a mighty, mighty reward right now. Let's say, Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. This is the dua of rain. So Allah Rabbul Izzat, allow this rain to be beneficial for all of us. Allah Rabbul Izzat, allow us to inculcate this message in our life. And Allah Almighty, allow us to see the log in our eye rather than the straw in the eye of our brother. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.